Well, good morning, church family. Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have you join us online. I was thinking about some scripture that I might could read this morning. Help us get our hearts settled. Psalm 63, this is a psalm of David. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. My St. Augustine yard had not had rain on it in about 2 months. And it's dry, it's tired, it's weary. And it doesn't matter how much water I seem to pour on that, it's just barely getting by. And there's nothing that will satisfy my yard like a rain from the heavens. And I think that's what David's looking for his soul. It's thirsty, it's dry. And I don't know if you are here this morning and your soul needs satisfying or your soul needs quenching, but God is here to do that. The Holy Spirit is here to do that. He goes on to write, so I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. So, church, as we come into his presence this morning, as we seek the Lord together, let's connect with him. He's here. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, that you're not too busy to meet with us this morning. And, Father, I pray, God, that your presence is thick and strong. Now, think about David says he has seen your power and your glory. He hasn't seen you physically. He didn't lay his eyes on your form. But, Lord, he saw you. And so, Lord, I ask this morning that you just heighten our awareness of your existence, your presence in this building. May we see you this morning. See you through worship. See you through the word. See you through other people as we gather. Oh, Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you again for this opportunity to be together. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Y'all remember this one? Y'all remember this song? It's been a while. I think Jesus is coming back sooner today than he was yesterday. Amen. I think there's a sense of urgency that's going on all around the world. Let's sing.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness be restored. And though these are days of trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Before he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun,
that praise looks good on you. Amen? Praise is comely. That's what it says in Psalms. Here we go.
There's no one like Jehovah. There's no one like Jehovah. There's no God 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 like Jehovah.
Out of sight, it's your sound. kids, are y'all ready for the children's sermon? Because it's time. Come on down.
How's everybody this morning? Good? Are you awake this morning? No? All right. Well, I'm excited that you're here today. Are you excited to be at church today?
No.
Yes. All right. Well, so what do I have with me today? What is this? A Bible. That's right. Do we learn from our Bible? No or yes?
Yes,
we do. That's right. The Bible teaches us, right? The Bible is very important. Did you know that? Do you think it's important? Okay, so it's God's word for us so that we can know what is right and pleasing to Him. Did you know that? God's word tells us everything in here that we need to know. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So what are some things in the Bible? Does anybody know anything in the Bible? Nothing? Yes, Olivia? It teaches us about Bible people, right? It teaches about David and Goliath and Noah's Ark and Jonah in the well. Yes. God did. God wrote the Bible. He wrote, had men write it out and everything. So this Bible tells us so much, and we can learn so much, but it also tells us that we are to love one another, that we are to be kind and compassionate. Are y'all kind? Yeah. So, and it also tells us that we're to go out into the world and tell others about Jesus. Do you think we tell others about Jesus? Yes. All right. And then it tells us that God loves us. And it tells us that Jesus died on the cross for us. Isn't it amazing that this Bible right here tells us all of those things, right? So is the Bible the best book of all? Is it the most important book of all? Yes. Okay, so who has a Bible? Do y'all have Bibles? Maybe a Bible storybook is even great. Who has a Bible storybook at your house? Yeah. All right, so Bibles are important. Now, do we read it at one time, front to back? No, we maybe read a little bit every day. Can you read just a little bit every day? Yes, so as you get older, you want to read a little bit more, right? Yeah, so the Bible tells us everything that we need each day, and it says in Psalms 119, 105, it says, "Your word," which is the Bible, "is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." So this our Bible tells us and leads and guides us on everything that we do. Isn't that amazing that God gives us all this so that we can know how to live? Yeah. So we're going to do something just a little bit different here today. So at this time every year, we always give Bibles to our fourth graders. Did you know that when you get to be in fourth grade, we give you a Bible? Isn't that exciting? Yeah, so we're going to ask parents and families, if you have a fourth grader, we would like for the fourth grader and the parents to join us up here at the front, on this side and over here. So fourth graders, make your way up this way, please. Okay. All right. Very good. Hi. All right. Anybody else? Okay, there's some more. Okay. They're. Everybody's kind of slow this morning. All right. So y'all turn around so you can see. Do you want to go stand over there with your sisters? No? Okay. All right. Okay. And if y'all would just, okay, very good. Okay. So we're going to kind of do this a little bit different. I'm going to kind of step back here by Miss Lisa just a bit. Okay. So I'm going to just introduce each one of the kids and their parents, and Miss Teresa is going to. That'll be fine. And Miss Teresa is going to present them with a Bible. So down here on the end, we have Grady Mooseberger, and his parents are Jesse and Aaron. Okay. All right. Oh, come on up, Mom. Okay, and then we have, make sure I'm on the right way. We have Tripp Callahan, and his parents are John and Christy. And then we have Kendall and Chandler Young, and their parents are Joseph and Tandy. Okay. And then we have Reese today that's here with us. We're so glad that you're here. And tell me your mom's name. Tracy? All right. Nice to see you, Tracy. All right. Yes. And then we have Lawson Adams, and his parents are Ty and Jamie. And then we have Audrey Myers, and her parents are Robert and Samantha. Okay. All right. And then we have on the end is Camberlyn Fallon, and her grandmother is Karen Cohen. So as we present these Bibles to these kids, we ask as a church that y'all will pray for these kids, and not just these kids up here receiving Bibles, but all of our kids, so that they can know God's truth and that it will lead and guide them every day of their life. So I'm going to pray now, okay? So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all these boys and girls that are, and their families that are here today, Lord. I pray that our hearts are open and our minds are open to know your truth, and that your word is a light to our path that will lead and guide us each day and each moment as we go out into this world, Lord, that we will do what is right and pleasing to you, Lord. And that we thank you for your word is alive and powerful, and your amazing love for us is just incredible, Lord. We just thank you for these families, again, for these kids, and I pray that your word will grow deep and that they will walk in your love and your truth each day, Lord. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, fourth graders, y'all can go sit down. Everybody else, let's go to Children's Church.
Great group of kiddos. Good to see those kids. Well, good morning again. If you would like to register your attendance with us through the app, you can do that. If you do not have our Wiley Methodist app, you can go to your app store if you have a smartphone and do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene. You'll get a hit on that. We do a lot of things through our app and through the website. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're honored that you would choose Wiley Methodist to worship, is your place of worship today. There is a card in the chair back in front of you, and if you want to leave us a note about your visit, you can use the guest card to do that. You can leave that card in your chair. You can put it in the offering plate after the service. Also, our pastor who's out today, he normally meets guests at the main entrance. I will be down there after the service, and he always offers a free gift, and I have no idea what that is. But I did find out this morning that it's a calendar and a flashlight. I would give you one of those, but I have no idea where they're at. So, but anyway, but would love to meet you after the service if you choose to do that. I want to let everybody know that the deadline for the Promise trip, October 1st and 2nd, is the end of today. So if you want to go, please sign up through our app or our website. Also, the men's breakfast next Saturday, if you want to attend that, please register for that as well. We're trying to get a decent firm headcount doing this month to month, and so we're going to do this the third Saturday of each month moving forward. And for those who are new to Wiley Methodist, our pastor has a discovery class next Sunday the 19th in the fellowship hall at 9:45. If you want to learn more about our ministry and the inner workings of our church, our theological perspectives, you can meet with our pastor next week. And ladies, you can continue to sign up for the Aspire event for October 17th. So let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Man, just a great document from the early 1st, 2nd, 3rd century that we can affirm those tenets of the faith together. Our pastor is out this morning. His wife Cheryl tested positive for COVID yesterday morning. She has very, very minor symptoms. Jeff has no symptoms, but he is quarantining under the advice of a good brother in the Lord that's in our fellowship, good doctor in the Lord. And so let's pray for that family. Need to pray for protection for them, protection for Louise and Cheryl's mom as well, and Jordan and Chance and Kirby and Ryan and the grandkids. So we need to lift that family up to the Lord. And also, we did this in the early service. I think God wants us to do that again this service. I want to pray for the sick this morning. Can we do that? Everybody good with that? I want to read something out of Isaiah 53, some of my most favorite verses. Talking about Jesus, surely he bore our griefs, he himself bore, and our surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. And if you look at the original Hebrew there, you can plug in the word sickness and pain there. It's just really interesting to look at that. So surely our sickness he himself bore, and our pain he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You know, I believe Jesus heals supernaturally. I think he also heals through the medical community. And if Jesus tarries and we pass on to the other side, there's ultimate healing there. But this morning, I want to focus on just praying for the sick. So if you need prayer this morning, I ask the early service just to raise their hand, indicating they're needing prayer this morning for healing, either for yourself or maybe a family member. So who needs prayer this morning? God bless you. Amen. 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 Anybody else? You know, sometimes we have not because we ask not. Anybody else? I'm assuming everybody else is healthy, doing well. Jackie, God bless you. You know, that's okay that you didn't slip your hand up. Jesus knows your need. So I want to pray into that. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you, Father, that you are still in the healing business. And Lord, if Jesus was here in bodily form this morning, I know what he would do. He would walk around the room and he would touch everybody that needed a touch from in regard to healing. And Lord, he's not with us in body. He's with us in spirit, and healing's just kind of a mystery. But Father, I know what your word says. And so, Lord, we just ask the morning that you move in power, that you touch bodies, because Jesus, by your wounds we are healed. However you choose to do that, just do something supernaturally in those who need healing this morning. Lord, I lift up our pastor and Cheryl. I pray, Father, just for very, very minor symptoms to continue for Cheryl. And I pray you protect Jeff. I pray you protect the family, protect the kids, the children, and the grandchildren. Protect Louise, protect Cheryl's mom. And Father, I pray for those who are struggling with COVID. pray for my good brother Brian Bloom, Lord. Just free his lungs up. Pray that his kidneys begin to function like they're supposed to function. And Lord, as we continue to meet together, God, would you protect us from illness? And Father, I've prayed this before, God. We don't want to be arrogant about what's going on. We don't want to put our heads in the sand and just blow off what's happening, God. We realize that it's real. But Father, we humbly ask that you protect us. I believe you want us to continue to meet together. So Lord, just protect us for your glory. Lord, I lift up the healthcare workers, God, that are just exhausted. Oh, Father, just continue to strengthen them, Lord, as they minister medication, as they minister kindness, as they minister encouragement to those who are ill. So, Father, just do the things that only you can do. Lord, I just ask again that the awareness of your presence is heightened in this place. Lord, whatever obstacles are standing in the way of us and fully encountering you this morning, I pray that you remove those in Jesus' name. I pray against what the enemy would try to do to rob you of any glory this morning, to rob the word from us that we received this morning. Oh, Lord, show us your glory. Show us your glory as we continue to worship. Show us your glory as Marv brings the word this morning. I pray for just a strong anointing on him. I thank you for Marv Gregory. Thank you for providing him this morning with a word for our congregation. God, we worship you, we love you, we adore you. And Jesus, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. The Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Church, as we continue to worship, we'll receive our offering at this time. You can, if you have one you'd like to give here in person, you can do that. Also, you can give electronically. God bless you. My God, that is who you are.
Moses had his hands in the air. As long as his hands could stay up in the air, the children of Israel were winning. But his hands got tired, his arms went down, the children of Israel started losing the battle. I think every hand in this sanctuary this morning should be held up. You know, when Moses got tired, two men came and held his arms for him so he could keep them up in the air. I think every hand should be raised to Jesus Christ this morning because he's worthy. And it's scriptural. It says, lift up holy hands. Who's made those hands holy? Jesus Christ. So Jesus, we lift up our hands to you this morning. We give you our hearts. We lay down our desires at your altar, our sickness, our shortcomings. We lay it all down at your altar this morning, Father. We surrender everything to you.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing it out loud to him.
Your glory, God, is what our heart.
go too long. I don't think Jesus is finished yet. I don't think he's finished with us. Press in a little more. What's it gonna hurt? Press in a little more. In that service, so I get to hear it again. So good, Marv.
Well, thanks, Trevor, for leading us in worship, you and the praise team. And never hurts to linger a little longer, does it, when it comes to spending time in the presence of Jesus. I do want to welcome those who are worshiping online. It's so good to know that you are a part of our family. Even though we can't see you in person, we know that you're there, and we pray blessings upon you and your family, whether you are connected with us as a family or whether you've joined this experience for the very first time. We welcome you. We also want to let you know that there is a prayer time tomorrow at noon. We've started a time of gathered prayer for the needs of our nation and the needs of we have lots of needs in our nation, in our community, in our state. And I would encourage you to join us. It's an hour of prayer, but the hour goes by very quickly. But come and spend some time with Jesus and with the folks here. Well, it's good to be here. It's especially good and surprising for me to be here in this particular position. You know, when you get a phone call from your preacher on Saturday afternoon, you know that it's probably not just to chat. And so here I am. And so pray for me. I would welcome your prayers. We're going to have a good time in the Word and in the Lord today. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we're amazed. The song says it well. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is our Savior's love for us. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, and that, Holy Spirit, you would show us the things of Christ and that you would apply them directly to the points where we need them the most. And we give you the honor and praise in the name of Jesus, and let the people of God say, amen. Amen. Well, our scripture today is found in the book, in the letter of Paul to the Philippians. And it is in chapter 1. We begin our reading with verse 12. We conclude our reading in verse 21. And you will see it on your screens. And I pray that you'll either have your Bibles open or your smartphones or wherever you access the Word. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Here it is. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, to begin our time together this morning, let's take a little quiz. How would you complete the following sentence? For to me to live is... What word or phrase would you put in the blank? Now I know that, you know, it's kind of like the children when Miss Carlene talks about a squirrel, some kid always answers Jesus, you know, because, you know, and that's the first thing that pops into our mind. But be honest with yourself that really down deep, how do you complete that sentence in your daily life? For me to live is, what word or phrase would you put in the blank? If your name is Ezekiel Elliott, the word might be football. Yeah, I didn't like Thursday night's final score either. If your name is Bill Gates, the word might be Microsoft. If you are a parent, the word might be children, or if you're a grandparent, grandchildren. A politician might say winning the election. A lawyer might say winning the big case. If you're in high school, you might say getting a car, or as a friend of mine just shared with me, making it into college. You know, the list of possibilities is endless. But really, if you want to know Paul's secret of life in just one sentence, here it is. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, some of us may have learned this verse as children in Sunday school or at church camp. We may have heard it and recited it and memorized it, and it's a good verse to remember because it reveals why Paul did what he did, why he said what he said, and how he found the strength to endure incredible hardship. Now, don't miss the point, friends. No one leaves that sentence blank. Everyone fills it in with something. This passage is particularly remarkable because it was written by Paul, who was in the worst of Roman jails, the Maritime, I believe I'm pronouncing it correct. If I'm not, somebody will correct me and I'll be glad of it. Maritime prison, I believe, one of the darkest, dingiest, most oppressive and depressing places to be. He was chained to a soldier 24 hours a day, and here he was writing this letter. He's on trial for his life with no certainty that he will ever be set free. But he filled the blank with Jesus. Now, if you don't fill the blank with Jesus, what do you put there? Let's look how Paul filled in the blank and how it impacts you and me. One question comes to mind. How could Paul be so confident and joyful? After all, he's in jail, awaiting trial before Caesar. He didn't know what would happen next. Yet he says, I will continue to rejoice. Perhaps you read these verses and thought, well, the phrase my deliverance means he expected to be released. But you know, that's not what he means. He's not thinking about getting out of jail, but about God vindicating him, whether in chains or as a free man. The Living Bible offers this helpful paraphrase, this is all going to turn out for my good. And so Paul says he's depending on two things. He's depending, number one, on the prayers of his friends. And isn't that a good thing? And number two, the work of the Holy Spirit on his behalf. From verse 20, we learn the content of his prayers, that he might never do anything that would bring him shame, that he might never lose his courage, and that he might always magnify Christ Jesus. Now notice what he says in the last phrase of verse 20, whether by life or by death. Here's the key. Here's the key to his amazing outlook. He wasn't afraid to die. Could you say the same thing? You know, so many of us worry about the future and what might happen to us in some accident or through cancer or COVID or some other dread disease. Of all the fears that grip the heart of modern men and women, none is greater than the fear of death. Yet we see in this letter that Paul has been completely delivered from inner dread about what might happen tomorrow. He's come to the place where he can say, the only thing that matters is that Jesus be magnified in my life. And it doesn't matter whether I live or die, as long as Christ is magnified. Well, consider the positive results of losing your fear of death. Isn't that a great thing to think about? When you can say, I'm not afraid to die, you are, number one, free to focus on the things that really matter. Number two, you're not really concerned with your own personal fate. Number three, you find yourself utterly consumed with glorifying God and doing His will. I'm going to ask you to see if you recognize these names that I'm about to put before you. Nate Saint, Roger Udarian, Ed McCulley, Peter Fleming, Jim Elliott. You may remember the last name, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. In 1955, these five young men, all under the age of 35, gathered in Ecuador with a vision of reaching a tribe of Indians called the Aucas. The word literally means savage, and that word was not something they claimed for themselves. It was given to them by other tribes. Can you imagine being called savage? You know, that's pretty serious. They lived deep in the rainforest, and no one had ever presented the gospel to them. So these five missionaries, who were all highly trained and deeply devoted to God, began praying over ways to make contact. In September of 1955, they began flying over an Alca village, lowering a pot containing gifts for the Indians. You can imagine these Stone Age folks looking at a flying machine and probably being very, very panicked at the sight of it. But when they began to drop gifts there, eventually the Alcas responded. They took the gifts and they replaced them with simple gifts of their own. And so from September to January, with much prayer and continued flights, the five men decided the time had come to make contact in person. And so after much prayer, they established a base camp on a sandy beach of the Curuvé River. And on January the 8th, 1956, at about 3:30 p.m., as they landed their plane, they were speared to death by the very Indians who mistakenly thought that they had come to hurt them. The news absolutely shocked the world. Many people wondered how young men with so much promise could waste their lives that way. We find the answer in the journals of Jim Elliot, published several years later, and those journals contain this sentence: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I will say that again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That sentence has profound impact for me. It was uttered by evangelist Ed Robb in a revival at Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Abilene in the fall of 1969, and it literally changed the direction of my life. I had to know why this young man, who was probably about the same age as I was at the time, how this young man could have such confidence in Jesus. 6 months later, at the conclusion of a lay witness mission at Aldersgate, I surrendered my life to Jesus, and then I understood what Jim Elliot meant. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You know, there's some other things this young man wrote in his journal. He wrote this: "Forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know so extraordinary a God. Lord, make my way prosperous, not that I achieve high station, but that my life be an exhibit to the value of knowing God. Father, make of me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decision. Let me not simply be a milepost on a single road, but make me a fork that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me. Be on guard, my soul, of complicating your environment so that you have neither time nor room to grow. We are sideliners, coaching and criticizing the real wrestlers while content to sit by and leave the enemies of God unchallenged. The world can't hate us. We are too much like its own. Oh, that God would make us dangerous. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like yours, Lord Jesus." You see, the Apostle Paul would agree. You know, once you decide that your earthly life won't last forever, then you're free to invest it in a cause greater than yourself. You give up what you can't keep so that in the end you gain what you can never lose. That's what Paul meant when he said, "Whether by life or death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Well, let's consider that phrase, "to live is Christ." What does it mean? A preacher named F.B. Meyer said that Christ is the essence of our life, the model of our life, the aim of our life, the solace of our life, the reward of our life. Think also of the prepositions that express relationship. We live in Christ, we live for Christ, we live by Christ, we live through Christ, and we live from Christ. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end. He is truly the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, and every letter in between. Every letter in between. How did Paul survive and thrive in a Roman jail? Philippians 1:21 gives Paul's answer: "Life is amazing. For to me to live is Christ." Life is amazing, and it's going to get better. "And to die is gain." The word "gain" is a monetary term that means to make a profit on an investment. Instead of complaining about being in jail, he rejoices that even in chains he's experienced the power of Jesus in his life. And when he dies, his current amazing life will get even better. How could Paul say such things? It's because for Paul, death didn't put him in a cemetery. It ushered him into a sanctuary. He knew that he would enter the presence of Christ at the moment of his death, and that would truly be gain for him. Jesus knew the same thing when he stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate realized that Jesus wasn't going to answer him. He said, "Well, don't you know I have the power to put you to death?" And Jesus replied, "No, you don't." In so many words, "You have no power except that given to you by God." A few hours later, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Now, he didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished," meaning he had done what God had given him to do. He knew that he couldn't die and wouldn't die before God's appointed time. In the same way, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have finished the race." He knew that his death, the time and the place and the circumstances of it, all of that was in God's hands. I have a favorite story I want to tell you. Many years ago, the great Southern evangelist John R. Rice preached at Waxahachie, Texas, just south of Dallas. Some of you may know where that is better than I do. As was his custom, Dr. Rice preached hard against sin, especially against the bootleggers bringing illegal liquor into that small Texas town. And eventually the powers that be decided that this pesky evangelist must be silenced. They sent a message. It was short and sweet. "Stop preaching or we will kill you." Do you know what Dr. Rice's response was? "You can't threaten me with heaven." Isn't that great? That's it. That's it. To live is Christ and to die is gain. And since we can't know the future, it's useless to waste our days worrying about when or how or where we're going to die. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew 6:34, the Voice translation, we read, "So do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself." Living faithfully is a large enough task for today. You know, it's best to leave tomorrow in God's hands and to spend our energies in the cause of Christ and in the doing of God's will day by day by day. Paul goes on to say in verses 22 and 23, "If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to part and be with Christ, which is better by far." He was honest about that. He was ready and willing not only to live but to die because he looked forward to life with Christ in heaven. And for him, death was like a ship pulling up anchor or like an army breaking camp. You know, for Paul, he understood that for the Christian, death is nothing more than a change of address. In the meantime, he was willing to remain if he could make a difference in the lives of other people. It was Henry James that declared that the best use for your life is to invest it in something that will outlast it. You know, too many people invest their time and energy in things that won't last 2 weeks or 2 years, much less outlast their earthly life. Remember, only two things last forever: the Word of God and people. Everything else vanishes away. And if you want your life to count, build it around those two things. Paul essentially said, "I can't lose either way. If I die, it's gain for me. And if I live, it's gain for you." How do you stop a man like that? You don't. You can't. Go ahead and kill him. He'll die with a smile on his face. Put him in prison, he'll preach to the guards. Put him in jail at midnight, and he'll start singing Amazing Grace. Run him out of town, he'll just go down the road and start a church in the next village. Stone him, and he'll use the rocks to build a sanctuary. I can't lose either way. And that brings us back to those five young men. At the time, their death seemed to be a tragedy with no redeeming purpose. But what happened as a result? Within a few years, over 1,000 new missionaries went to the field as a result of their sacrifice. Soon the Indian Bible schools in Ecuador were filled to the brim with native believers desiring to learn God's word. Rachel Saint and Elizabeth Elliott, who are the widows of Nate Saint and Jim Elliott, get this, moved into an Alka village to continue the process of Bible translation, or actually to begin the process of translating the Word of God into the Alka language. 9 years later, two of the Alkas who helped kill the five missionaries came to Christ, and they baptized Kathy and Steve Saint, the daughter and son of Nate Saint. A flourishing church was established among the Alkas and other neighboring tribes, and in 1995, Steve Saint moved back among the Alkas to live with them at their request. You know, the story goes on and on, doesn't it? This is no doubt part of the fruit that Paul speaks about. These men had no idea about the thousands of lives they would touch by their death on a sandy beach in a remote jungle. They only knew the truth that Paul proclaimed: to live is Christ and to die is gain. As a young Christian, I remember buying a small card of Jesus painted by Richard Hooke. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was an amazing artist. And the thing that impressed me was that he painted, I'd grown up with soft tinted pictures of Jesus. Don't get me wrong, I know that those pictures for some of you here were very meaningful, but as a young man growing up, I longed to see what Jesus might have looked like as a young man, as a man in his 30s, and Richard Hooke painted that. I remember one amazing picture. Google it. Google Richard Hooke paintings and see what I'm talking about. It was an amazing picture because it showed Jesus with the biggest smile on his face, looking up to heaven, and on the back of the card were the words, "Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Only one life. That's yours. How would you complete "for me to live is"? How will you fill in your blank? I'm going to open the altar for prayer today. There may be somebody here that Jesus is speaking to personally about this issue. And maybe there are a couple of questions. You know, how have you filled in your blank? Jesus may be asking that question of you, calling you to account. Maybe that thing that you filled in your blank, maybe it's time for you to turn it loose. And then how is Jesus calling you to fill in your blank? And now we have the time. We have the time, don't we, Trevor? You know, take the time. Spend time listening for his voice. How is he telling you to fill in your blank? Let's come to the altar. I'll be there to pray with you. If you need prayer, just if you go to the altar and are praying, lift your hand and let me know that so I can pray with you. Love.
time.
Bow down before Him, for He is lovable. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
And again, oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior.
He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. If you're wrestling with that issue, don't leave this place before you've had a chance to settle it with Jesus. And I'm willing to stay behind and pray with you. It's probably one of the most important decisions of your life. If you're online, we encourage you to reach out to us. Pastor Jeff will have some things to say at the conclusion of our service. Don't put it off. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Amen. Brothers and sisters, for me to live is Christ, for you to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Go live it out, and go tell somebody.
Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to, first of all, congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set us the example by being baptized Himself, and He said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.